Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 724. The topic is mindset, and the title is Learning Self-Control in Crisis. Yes, this seems a pretty large topic to tackle in our podcast. However, we're going to discuss just a couple lessons, things that we can apply today that can help us kind of better handle moments of crisis, moments of stress, moments when without these lessons, we sometimes act in a way that doesn't reflect our true character, and or we maybe say things that we wish we could later take back. And I just feel like with the stress of this year, with 2020, that more and more people feel overwhelmed. They feel stressed. They feel this feeling of crisis internally. And as the year progresses and prolongs, it's getting slowly worse and worse and harder for people. That just constant feeling of something being over top of you, on you, that on your mind kind of feeling can wear people down. So I wanted to talk about this, and not that I think this is going to be, you know, like everything you've ever wanted to hear and all like best lessons, life lessons wrapped into one. I just think it's something that might be helpful, and I hope it is. So we'll get into it here. One of the things I think is really important is an example of a moment of crisis is when something is happening around us or to us, or we're involved in a conversation or conflict with other people, and we feel the need to speak. How can we speak in a manner that doesn't create more stress, more crisis, more drama? How can we speak in a manner that best reflects the true feelings we want to express? Not necessarily moment kind of based information or moment-based reactions, but the things that are kind of more the underlying issues that are at the true heart of the matter. And how can we speak in a way that we later don't have to apologize for or feel bad about? How can we control what we say when we feel like we need to say something? So one of my couple of lessons here, we're going to go through four that I think are kind of just good ideas and things to think through. The number one is the acronym of THINK. So the phrase would be think before you speak. We all have heard this, like think before you speak, meaning, you know, think about what you're going to say and try to interpret how the other person may interpret what you say. And the acronym of THINK, though, can be something that we can use. So THINK stands for, if we use this acronym, the first thing is T. Is it true? Is what you're about to say true? Do you know it to be true? Do you believe it to be true? Those are two different things. And if it's not true, definitely don't say it. If you just want to say it because you're mad, for the love of God, don't say that. If what you want to say, you don't know if it's true or not, don't say it. Go do the research, go figure it out, go find out whether it's true before you speak. So in this acronym, if something doesn't kind of isn't met, if the T isn't met, the H isn't met, the I, the N, the K, if one of these components can't be answered yes, then you need to address that before you speak on the matter. So if what you want to say, you're not sure if it's true, you don't say it. Because what if it turns out if it's not true? Are there going to be negative consequences to you saying this and then maybe later finding out that it wasn't the case? This can often be true when we interpret what other people's actions mean or what other people said, like what they meant by what they said or what their actions did. We don't know what they were thinking. We don't know their intentions behind their actions. So rather than us having an assumption that we don't know if it's true, it's better for us to ask. So in moments such as that, where if I don't know what I'm about to say is true, then I must ask questions before I say it. I need to find out the truth before I speak. The H in think is helpful. Is what you're going to say actually helpful? Here's a little side kind of issue or side commentary, but I saw somebody the other day on Facebook one time. A person had mentioned that they went and bought this item and they had to pay X amount of money for it. And this person after them commented in the comment section saying, well, hey, you know, 2 or 3 days ago they had that on sale for this percentage off at so-and-so place. Well, why the hell would you say that? The person can't go back in time. They can't go back and buy that thing. They can't go back and do anything about what you just said. So you're actually furthering the fact that they felt kind of taken advantage of at the price, but the whole point of what they posted for. And then by you making that statement, like the person who made that statement, they just made things worse. They didn't help the person. They just wanted to show how much they knew and that, oh, look at me, you know, I knew this was the truth and I knew this moment and this circumstance. And it's like, okay, congratulations for you. But that's not helpful. And they should not have said it. So what you want to say should be helpful. It should be true, sure, and it should be helpful. In the sense that you giving them this statement gives them information that they can then use. If what you want to say, they cannot use, they can't do anything with it, then you should think before you say it. You probably shouldn't say it. The I for think is it important? Often we want to say something because we have other motives. But if it's not an important in this moment thing, if it's not important that they know it, then there's no real need for us to say it. And these kind of like have some degree of feeling like they overlap, but they are different things. So helpful means they can do something with the information. Important means maybe their knowledge of the information is necessary for them. In the sense that not necessarily whether they can use it in the future, but knowledge of it in the future could protect them. Or maybe it's important that they know that. So that way they have a certain amount of feelings or a certain kind of understanding of the situation, of what had happened. So we need to make sure that it's actually important. The N is necessary. So is it even necessary to say it at this time? Maybe you're in the heat of an argument and they're, you know, maybe pointing out something that they wished you had done differently. And you're thinking back 6 months, a year, 2 years ago to something they did that you wish they had done different. That's not really necessary to bring up in that moment. Sometimes it can be because you need to kind of defend your position. But often it most likely comes up as like a petty kind of response. In a sense to where they ask you to change something maybe. And then you have kind of like this petty feeling of, well, yeah, if I'm going to change, you're going to need to change kind of thing. So it's not necessary to say those things sometimes. And then the last thing is kind. That's the K. Is what I'm going to say kind? Can I say it in a kind way? Maybe it's a tough thing. Maybe it's a thing that's going to challenge them. That you know can ruffle some feathers. But can you say it in a kind way? To lessen the ruffling. Okay? So that's one of the big things we can do in moments of crisis. Is staying quiet. Kind of giving ourselves, you know, some mental space, giving ourselves some distance from reaction, and taking the time to think before we speak. If I'm going to say something, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it important? Is it even necessary? And can I say it in a kind way? Then when you do speak in moments of crisis, it's important to speak soft and slow. Soft does not mean that you can't be authoritative. It doesn't mean you can't take charge of the moment if that's actually what's needed. what I mean by speak soft is if you speak harsh, aggressive, the person will often respond with harsh and aggressive. So we actually do have things in our minds, in our behavior patterns, called mirror neurons. So if we see somebody acting in a way, we tend to react in the same way. So if somebody is hysterical, we tend to be heightened and we start to feel like on edge. If somebody's calm, we tend to feel calm. We have mechanisms in our mind that promote us to mirror our environment. And that would have been very important in the sense of emergency. If somebody came to us and they were really scared, they're frightened, and they're kind of panicky, it's important that we get our adrenaline up and we start kind of panicking too and kind of figuring out, like, not in a sense like, oh my God, and lose control, but we understand the urgency of the moment and we react with that in mind, that urgency in mind. So speaking soft and slow in moments of crisis can help us internally feel more in control. We won't have that huge influx of that fight or flight type feeling, that huge influx of adrenaline. We can control that to some degree by speaking soft and slow. We can control ourselves. And then also by speaking soft and slow, the other person will kind of mirror us and they'll respond more likely in a soft and slow manner as well. It may take them a minute or two to kind of catch up. So that is true. So maybe they're going to be a little aggressive and we kind of have to like take on that aggression and let them kind of like lash once or twice. But then all of a sudden they'll see that we are staying calm and they'll become more calm. Now, this has been true for me in business a lot. So I have unfortunately had to kick people out of the gym just because they haven't followed rules or they've been abusive to the equipment or been abusive to other members. And in those moments, I've tried my best to stay soft and slow in the way I spoke, but I 100% addressed the issue. I still was in control. I've been told to go screw myself in many times, not very nice ways, but I still responded with respect. I still responded with calmness. I remember one time a guy got mad at me. He walked out the doors of the gym and flipped over the trash can that we have outside. He flipped it over, threw it out into the parking lot, stormed off to his car, only to realize that his keys were still in the gym. So I was standing at the door, watching him act a fool, basically. And I knew that his keys were still in the gym. So I was like, oh, this poor dude. I was like, oh, he's gonna feel so bad. So he got to his car. He sees, like, he hung his head, and he started walking back. So I grabbed his keys off the shelf, and I opened the door, and I held them out to him. And it was a real quiet moment, but I could see in his eyes. He was like, shit, I just acted like a dumbass. And I was like, yeah, you did. So, but I gave him his keys and we kind of parted ways. So sometimes it's kind of funny is the people who act fast and harsh, those kind of moments will come and you have to eat crow really quickly. But 99% of the time, if you act soft and slow, speak soft and slow, doesn't mean you have to act slow. But if you speak soft and slow, very rarely does that ever create an environment or create something that you have to then apologize for or feel bad for. So again, if you speak soft and slow, it keeps you calm and it keeps the people calm around you. So that's a really helpful thing in moments of crisis. Also, understand that not everything needs an answer. Sometimes people are expressing themselves, they're just venting. There's a large difference, an enormous difference between venting versus asking. Sometimes when people vent, they ask rhetorical questions. They are rhetorical. They do not want you to answer. Okay? They're not trying to problem solve. They just want to express their feelings. And in moments like that, you want to go ahead and promote them to do so. Allow them to get their feelings out. Allow them to feel that their voice is being heard. goes back to the phrase of seek first to understand before being understood. So let them get their emotions out. See what their points are. See what their struggle, what their focus, what their challenge is in that moment. Get a better understanding of what's going on in their mind. So then you can frame your response correctly to address the exact issue that they actually have issue with. Sometimes in situations of crisis, two different people will have two different focal points, but they don't recognize it. One person is focusing on one thing, the other person is focusing on the other, and the crisis and the anger and the kind of like stress of the issue continues to compound because neither one is stopping to see what the heck the other one's talking about. They're both confused and they're both talking about different things. So understand that not everything needs an answer. Take a second to breathe. Take a second to allow the other person to vent, to get out their emotions, to express what their concerns are. Then you will be able to then express your concerns and your responses. And that moment of crisis can be downgraded and calmed down very quickly. The last piece of advice we have is understanding urgent versus important. Not everything needs an immediate reaction. Just like we said, not everything needs an answer. Also, not everything needs an immediate reaction. Often in moments of crisis, what's important versus what's urgent gets confused. Something may be, in the moment, a point of focus. But in the grand scheme of things, when you look for the forest or the trees kind of stuff, it's not that important. So understand that not everything needs a reaction. Don't react right away. Take a second to collect yourself. Take a second to collect the information. Put things in context. And then you'll have a better understanding of if a reaction is necessary, what is the best reaction? So in moments of crisis, how can we learn self-control? By reminding ourselves of little lessons, little tips. We know when we exercise, we have cues, right? To make sure we follow the correct technique. Use cues for moments of crisis. A cue can be, think before you speak. A cue can be, if I do speak, I want to speak soft and slow. And understanding that I don't always need to speak. Sometimes I just need to listen and try to understand what that person is telling me. I also need to always try to keep things in the larger perspective. What is urgent versus what is important? In moments of crisis, we do have some degree of control. We can always control ourselves. And often how we respond to crisis can change how others respond to crisis. So by controlling us, our inner world, we can have an influence over the world around us. So in moments of crisis, slow down. Take a breath. Remember your cues. Think before you speak. If you do speak, speak soft and slow. And recognize that sometimes you don't need to speak and you don't need to react. Just take a second to take everything in. So hopefully this helps. This has been a conversation that has come up with clients and just people throughout 2020 have been just stressed. And a lot of people are just having feelings and moments of crisis that can be calmed if they were to apply some of these lessons. So hopefully they'll help for you. do your best to try to use them and work with them and take practice with them. But I think they'll definitely help. They've definitely helped me in my life and how I interact with other people, whether that's personal life or business or anywhere. I know that the more I can control myself, the more I do have a sense of control of the world around me, and that can lessen anxiety, that can lessen the overwhelming feelings of stress, and that can lessen the crisis that I feel internally, no matter what crisis is happening around me externally. So I wish you the best of luck. If you have any questions or if you have any needs or if there's anything you're struggling with, we do have a listening ear here. Just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Tell us what you're struggling with. We'll listen. If you're just venting, then vent. If you ask questions and you want help, we'll send resources. But you do have somebody that cares. You do have somebody that'll listen. So email us if you need a listening ear. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. You can also contact us through our website at www.brutalirongym.com. But we're here, we're happy to help, and we do appreciate you listening to the podcast. And I want you to always feel supported by us because we appreciate your support. Thank you. If you do think our podcast, whether it's this one specifically or just the podcast in general, would be helpful to people that you love and you want them to live their best life, please share this podcast with them. The more we share the podcast, the more people we can help. Also, if you like this type of information, you can always find more from us on our social media channels of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd always, always love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.